Well, good morning and welcome to each one. It's good to see each one and thank you to the visitors for coming. I didn't know for sure how full we were going to be today because I knew there were numerous families going to be gone. So yeah, thanks for coming and joining in with us. And hopefully you felt welcome and at home. I guess it's on my heart. Maybe a little update on Leanne. They're going through kind of rough times right now. A week or two ago, one of the aunties and the teacher had left. And now in June, there's another auntie that's going home. And then in August, I think there's another one. And in all this, Leanne has been asked to be the childcare, supervisor, manager. And so that's added responsibilities yet. And the aunties going home really wreaks havoc in these little children's hearts because they have been their mom for this year and a half or whatever it was. And now, with one leaving, now the other children are afraid their auntie's going to be leaving, which they will be. And it's just really tough right now. And I just pray that they don't get discouraged. Because right now, that's when the children really need Jesus in skin. And if I could and just have the ability, I'd just bring them all home so they wouldn't have to go through it again. That's my heart. It's just, they need homes. They need parents. They need, and anyway, we're not talking about adoption right now, I guess. But we could use spiritual discernment. Are you called to adopt? So anyway, today we will continue our journey through Sermon on the Mount. Keith's camping, Charlotte wanted her information earlier, Friday. Well, I didn't have clear direction yet, so that's why there's no title. And if I would have given the title back then, it would not have been this title because what I was meditating on, it totally switched Saturday morning. It was, so here we are, spiritual discernment. And so we'll jump in the scripture and keep moving on. Matthew 7, starting in verse 1, going to 6. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? I don't have it in my notes, but this is a little study. This speck is actually a dried up little twig, is what the word means. And then the plank or the beam is actually a beam to hold up things. And maybe so the children could understand, we'll bring it down. Jesus is using a big illustration, just, you know, there's no beam fits in your eye. Okay, so let's bring it down to what does make sense. So maybe you see someone who has a little dust in his eye and the eye is watering. It needs to be cleaned a little bit. But you have a toothpick in your eye. And can you imagine if a toothpick is in your eye, how your eye feels and it's watering. Now you're trying to get that little speck. It doesn't work. So it is in our life. You know, we need to get our eye healed. But today we're going to focus on heart. and not so much the eye. Jesus calls them hypocrites. First remove the plank, the toothpick from your own eye, and then you will see clarity to remove the little speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. You see, as Jesus looked into the religious situation in his day, there was a lot of judging, a lot of condemning, criticizing that was going on. And it was a great problem they had. And there was the Pharisees and the scribes that sat in the place of the critic, the self-righteous. And they were quick to pass judgment on those that did not meet their expectation. And you see, I've lived long enough, and I've made enough of these mistakes, where our first impression doesn't always mean that's the way it is. Sometimes we need to just stop and look into the situation. What's really going on? Because if we make this decision right now, are we making a spiritually discerned decision? And I think this is what Jesus is teaching, that we don't condemn this, judge not. It doesn't mean that we don't discern what's right and wrong, but it's meaning that we're condemning. We're actually passing judgment as far as like the judge would, and he's condemned or whatever. And that's not in our part. You know, the way you view other people, is that how you want to be viewed? Because what measure we measure, that's what's going to be measured back. So how do I view my mom or my dad, my brother, my sister, the brethren, pastors, teachers, our boss, co-worker, politicians? How do I view them? How do I measure them? Am I critical? Condemn? Or do I care? And here's the one that got me. What do you think of the person? You're in a hurry, you're going along here, then someone pulls out in front of you and put a tut tut, and you can't get around. I fail. And I do not want to be measured how I measure that person. It's those times that we need to be alert and ready to make a spiritual discernment. What am I going to do with this? And as I share with you, I'm not here telling you I've got this all together. I'm talking to myself with you. You know, in the way I see people, does it reflect Jesus? Is that how Jesus would treat you or me? And I'm a firm believer. Jesus started out with the Beatitudes, and this is where it just turned on me, where I'm actually going back into the Beatitudes, is I think he's continuing to expound on the Beatitudes. So we're going to take a look at some of these. First one is, blessed are the poor in spirit. See, to be poor in the spirit means to have emptied ourselves of all desires to exercise personal self-will. Once we're empty of ourselves and wanting what I want, we tend not to be so critical and not so condemning. And in fact, this is even the foundation of this is how we enter into the kingdom, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the foundation. Then if we look at the next three, that is our inner response. Then if we follow that with the next three, then that's our outer response. Then the last one will be the world's response. I'm not going to go into there because it doesn't really pertain to what I'm speaking about now. But I think it's kind of interesting how Jesus, he was intentional when he was teaching. So next is, blessed are those who mourn. You know, out of our sincere love for this person, can we grieve with them of what has happened or what is happening? Or do we grieve, or are we more wanting to be God and this has got to be punished? He's got to make it right some way. Or are we willing to put self to the side? And we grieve with them, we walk with them, and we care. That's what I see Jesus doing. With the ones that needed the physician, that's the ones that you don't want to go to a doctor and he just condemns you and just knocks you down and you're condemned. When we go, we want to be cared for. We want to be checked into. That's what Jesus is, the physician that comes, and we need to show Jesus at that time. Is it making sense? That we don't condemn, we don't judge, we don't, because it's going to be measured back. Our action should always be to restore, not to punish. Blessed are the meek. Meek means they're mild, gentle. Meekness would not be a weakness. It's actually a strength that is under control. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. He wasn't weak. I mean, he cast out demons. But yet he was mild and gentle. Humble. It's strength under control in the will of God. Next is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. In order for us to hunger after righteousness, there again, we need to go back to the very beginning, and it's empty of ourselves. It's God's will, not my will. And when I am frustrated, when I am critical, when I am condemning, it's because something hasn't went my way. That's pretty much always what happens. And we so desire righteousness that we're willing to step back, take time, and just wait on the Lord. What does the Lord want? And we're so hungry for righteousness in the other person that we're willing to sit down and maybe even look down upon that I sit down with this person. Even if they stink, it's okay. You know, these homeless, stinky people also need Jesus. That's discipleship. Blessed are the merciful. This is now our outer response. Compassionate. You see, merciful people see distress. They notice it. They'll have compassion, and they'll minister to the need, and they'll even go the second mile. The story that comes to mind is the Samaritan. You know, this man was going from Naponita Goshen, and he fell among thieves, and they left him laying there half dead. And here come comes a Mennonite pastor, and he comes and he sees that, oh, I don't have time. I've got a meeting to go to. So he goes on around. Then there's another one comes along, and maybe it's the Mennonite Sunday school teacher. Man, he's got to go. He's got an appointment for, he can't be late for class, so he keeps on going. Then along comes, who do we look down on? I don't know. But anyway, here comes the unbeliever. But he's got mercy. And he's got compassion. He sees this person in need. And then he goes and he loads him up, takes him into the hospital, says, hey, take care of him. And he leaves $2,000 there. That's enough for one day. Now, if I'm going to be coming back. Now, if he's here longer, I'll pay the rest of it. For they shall obtain mercy. They have an eye for distress, a heart of compassion, an effort to help, and a willingness to stick with it till the person is restored. That's really, again, that's discipleship. When we stick with them, I'll get ahead of myself. I'll jump to the next one. The question is, do you want justice or do you want mercy? How do I measure others? Blessed are the pure in heart. They have spiritually and honestly analyzed their own heart to make sure that they don't have a beam in their own eye before they show concern about the small dry twig in the other person's eye. You see, the pure in heart, they've experienced the release of what Jesus Christ does. And one key to being free, pure in the heart, is forgiveness. If you don't want to be free, don't forgive. Because that'll keep you from being free. But once you can forgive, there are certain ways, but the key is forgiving. The key isn't how you do it. The key is just do it. And when we have been forgiven, and we have been showed that mercy, when we see who we used to be, and now because of Christ, we are who we are, when someone else is struggling, we're so much more compassionate out of that pure heart that we're more concerned about that person's heart than we are their action. The action reveals the heart, and we never just ignore action because it does reveal the heart. But if we just work on the action, we ultimately make hypocrites. Because we change their action like this little boy. Dad told the little boy to sit down. Well, he sat down, but then he said, in my heart, I'm still standing. Inside, I'm still standing. Gain nothing. So many times we focus on the action and we want to clean this up right now. Some is for our own good, because man, our church shouldn't look like this. Man, that's embarrassing. They should never look like that. Or should we be more concerned, what's that doing to the name of Jesus? Not focusing on what does that do for Berea. What does that make Berea look like? Hosh-posh. That's nothing. Let's worry about the heart and care for the heart. Would it not be great if Berea would be known as their caring for the heart ministry? I mean, when we come there, the hearts are cared for. There's no criticism. There's no condemnation. It's just they're cared for. And I'm not saying that's not who we are. It's just encouraging. Let's be that. Because when the heart changes, the actions change. It just does. Could it be said that if we just focus on the actions, Could there be issues inside me, a plank in my eye, that I'm so concerned about that speck, the outer appearance, the outer actions, I should say? A pure in heart person will have spiritual discernment. We can't separate that, because it's ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit anyway. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers have a deep sense of who they are. They don't need to prove themselves, and someone else certainly does not make them agitated or upset just because they hold a different belief. I want to be careful. You know, we don't just want to be gullible and just accept all teaching that comes along. However, we should be rooted good enough that that it's a peacemaker is, I'll listen. Maybe 5% of your comment is true, or maybe there might be an accusation. Just because 95% of the accusation is false, I can work on the 5%. Let's not throw it all out. We're willing to listen. And you know what? Because I'm not perfect. And let's see what I can learn from it, from you. We're not threatened by it. It doesn't all have to fit in my little box. Because the Pharisees were in their box, and our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. And they totally missed the truth, Jesus Christ. And the peacemakers are ones that are not so convinced of their own truth that they're unable to see the truth in another. Peacemaking is to hold people gently in prayer, wishing them to be well and free. Now, with each beatitude, another nail is driven into a coffin. And in that coffin lies the corpse of false understanding of salvation. The false understanding that someone can be saved and not changed. Or a person that can inherit eternal life even if his attitudes and actions are like the attitudes and actions of the world. The cry of the Beatitudes is, have a new heart. One after the other, Beatitudes tell us that the blessings of eternity will be given only to those who have become new creatures. So today, I'm not giving you a list of do's, but I'm giving you a list of be's. This is who we're to be. And I'm confident if this is who we are, we won't be critical. We won't condemn. We're not going to be ashamed or fearful of how we'll be measured because we've been measuring correctly. So be poor in spirit so you can mourn with those who are struggling. Be meek. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Be merciful, be pure in heart, and be a peacemaker. Solomon understood that our focus should be on the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart against the critical Pharisee spirit, we could say. And we don't even have to add Pharisee. It's just guard your heart from a critical spirit. How's that done? The best I can tell you is allow Jesus full and free access to your heart. Have him sit on the throne room of your heart. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Allow his spirit. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, God loves adoption, so do I. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's where it starts. It is only by his spirit that we can practice spiritual discernment. So, we as Christ followers are to draw people to Christ. So what has drawn Christ to us? What has drawn us to Christ? Sorry. Was it because he condemned us? Was it because he was critical on where we're at? It was because, for me, it was because of his love and compassion. And he came in the depth of my despair. He was there. Where he could have condemned me. It was so dark. I had no hope. For about a week, I was suicidal. And I came out of that without one pill. I came out of that by Jesus Christ and in him alone. I stand here living proof. Jesus Christ changes hearts. And I am living proof that Jesus will meet you in your deepest despair. He's not ashamed of you. And neither should I be. To meet you at your deepest moment, the lowest moment, the darkest, the dirtiest, I should never be ashamed to sit down with you. Never. It's not my place to criticize or condemn you. And that's who we need to be. A safe place where I can come and I can say, I have messed up, but I have no clue where to go. Let's sit down and talk. It's okay to get dirty. But it's not okay to stay dirty. It's his love and compassion, his mercy and gentleness, and his acceptance and friendship. That's what draws us to Jesus. And that's who we are to be. And Paul teaches us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul gives us these instructions. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Let's not judge. Let's not criticize. Let's not throw him under the bus. Any trespass means unintentional error or willful transgression. So the question is, do we really care enough about that person that we want to take time? See, this takes time and time. It may take a couple years. It took Jesus 3 years till he was ready to let his disciples go. It takes time, patience, endurance, and to really understand what is going on in this heart so we know how to lead. Is our life a mirror image of Jesus Christ, who is willing to sit down and eat with the sinners, even though others condemned him for it? And see, Does our life bear the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. Does it bring peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Am I a reflection of that? And it takes the spiritual discernment when to speak truth to this struggling heart. You see, if we, I want to be careful that you understand what I'm saying, is we don't justify their wrong, but sometimes it just takes friendship. It takes sitting down, and it just to where they become safe so that we know what's happening so that we can share truth to them. If we just throw truth in their face when they're down and out, they already know it's wrong, or they already know they're wrong. But if we just throw it in their face, it's like throwing dirt on them. It's it takes the spiritual discernment. It's like casting your pearls before the swine. They're not ready for it. They'll reject it. And if they're talking about speaking on the heart, if there's pain and there's correction on top of that pain, in that heart is actually rejection. You need to care for that heart, and you need to, it's a tender work. It's very, can't think of the word. But it's very serious. When we sit down, we want to care about this heart. Because if we smash it, now whose fault is it? When this person decides this is it, they leave the gospel. They want nothing. There's nothing but pain. And I've been a part of that because I've caused just more pain and more pain. Do you think I can be free when it's my end? It's so serious when we care about people's hearts. We need to care. It's just a small step at a time. And we need spiritual discernment all the time to insert, when that heart is ready, we insert a truth. And we insert a truth. And we insert a truth. And in all that, there's always caring and caring and caring. It may take 3 years. It may take 5 years. But I'm one, I like the microwave effect. I can sit down, and when I'm done in that half hour, you know what? Everything's good. Most relationships aren't that way. It's not to say that we ever overlook sin, but we are called to be long-suffering. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. I'm no better than you. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. There we are. We never overlook sin. We don't rejoice in the sin. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. The pure godly love never fails. It takes spiritual discernment, and in that, we won't criticize or condemn. I'm convinced of that. I'll leave that. Because had a brother. I never imagined I could sit down with a stranger and share what I shared. But the ones I had talked with before always just wanted to fix. They just wanted to fix the problem. But when someone sat down and just listened, and as I shared, you know, and you start sharing the simple little things, they'll try you out. How are you going to respond on these simple little things? That's interesting. Yeah, okay. Well, how did that make you feel? And then all of a sudden you were sharing things that were deep that you hardly even knew that was going on. It's because they were caring. They were not criticizing or condemning. You shouldn't feel like that. Why do you feel like that when you know it's going to make you feel like that? That never helps. But when we can sit down and understand these little things, then it'll go deeper. That's why I say it takes time. Because it's in layers and it's layers and it's layers. Because I had stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. Now it has to be unstuffed and unstuffed and unstuffed and unstuffed. But had someone not sat down with me, and then when I was done, had kind of an outline, you know, this is why you do what you do. This happened and this happened. And it's finally life made sense. And once life makes sense, life is, you look through it in a different lens. You understand these. It's just, you understand life better. It's no longer just living for pleasure. It's no longer being named the best volleyball player. That was me. Oh, I just fed on that. But when real life hit, there's a brother that sat down with me and did not judge, did not condemn, just cared. And I think that's what Jesus is teaching us. Have spiritual discernment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you so much that you've given Jesus, your only Son, who came and showed us the way. And it's in him and through him that we have access to you, Father. Thank you that you've given us the Savior. And Father, it just entered my mind, so I want to pray for that. Lord, I think of Landon. There's a heart that's hurting. And we think of Eric's and the family. The hearts are hurting. But Father, we read in your word that Jesus came to set the captives free. And Father, it was revealed the other day that how I need to pray. And that is that Landon is in prison in his own heart. The prison of bitterness and resentment, anger. Maybe the prison of disillusioned. the prison of hopelessness. Oh, Jesus, I ask that you would reach down to Landon right now and release him from that prison. That he could experience true freedom by forgiveness. Forgiving and being forgiven. And we pray that for the whole family. Oh, Lord, you know how we care. And Father, I don't know what you have for us. Is this message a prerequisite of him coming? And you are teaching us how we are to care. Lord, I don't know. But I do pray that you would enable each heart here to care like you care for the Skiles family. Where there is absolutely, positively, no condemnation, no criticism. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. Lord, I know I can't. And Father, when there's others struggling in the church, by your Spirit, Lord, move us to action in caring. That no one is alone. That no one feels left behind. Just again, Lord, fill us completely with your Spirit. As we are your sons, we cry out, Abba, Father, help us. We need you. We love you. We long to be like you. Oh, to be a reflection of you, Lord. I know I failed. And Father, I ask for forgiveness. I actually ask for all of us, Lord. Where we have failed, we ask for your forgiveness. And that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That today we could go forth, pure in heart, being peacemakers, showing mercy, hungering and thirsting for your righteousness, and that we're meek, that we mourn with those who are hurting, but most of all that we have that solid foundation that we can't do it without you. We are spiritually bankrupt. In and of ourselves, we can't. So we empty ourselves of self, Lord. And may you fill each one, Lord, completely. Fill each one with your love and your peace, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, just your character. That when others see us, that the bearing the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives. Lord, we praise you what you're going to be doing. We praise you what you have done. We thank you and we love you, Lord, with all our heart.